Within, we get into entrepreneurship and the potential for it to relieve South Africa's unemployment saga. It's one that we've just made note of then with the former statistician general, Barili Hotla, and how devastating the scenario is in South Africa. It doesn't feel like it's getting any better. We've made note of it year in, year out. We've had promises after promises after promises, workshop after workshop, and still here we sit. Here we lie with not just a youth, but a country that is more unemployed than it is employed. Alon Reyes is the CEO at Reyes Corp. It feels very easy then, Alon, to say that entrepreneurs have the potential to alleviate unemployment or even relieve South Africa's unemployment at the very least. But have they even been given the right tools, the right environment to kind of thrive?
Thanks, Arabile, and thanks to the listeners for listening. For me, Arabile, I think it's a issue of design. And when I say design, I mean how the policies have been designed. So the two that stand out for me, first of all, are the SMME policy, which is if anyone who's listening, who's an entrepreneur, who's started a business and grown a business, they'll know that when they were a micro business, when they were a one person operation, the issues were very different as they grew their business to a small business, to a medium sized business. They got different issues. And if government has a policy in SMME, a micro business and medium-sized business are all part of the same policy, well, there's already the problem. The people who are making these policies obviously don't understand what the journey of an entrepreneur is. So that's the first issue. The second issue would be, to me, is that the big focus is on looking at government on these, on the one-man bands, on trying to get people into entrepreneurship. With a limited budget, if I were in the position to be thinking about policy with limited budget, I'd certainly not be looking at the one-man band or the one-person operation. I'd be looking at focusing my budgets as government on the 10-person operation, the 10-man band, because that has a far higher potential to grow and to employ people.
Why aren't we?
To me, I don't know the answer to that. I can only surmise the answer to that. And my assessment is that the people who are making the policies have never been entrepreneurs. They are politicians who have read documents, or they've been informed by people who are academic, who've never been there on the ground building businesses. And so these policies are really built from a really ignorant point of view, in my opinion. And you can see how they're being thought through and how they're being implemented. It's very punitive. Our policy, our government talks about loving entrepreneurs and wanting entrepreneurship. But as we've seen from all sorts of reports from the World Economic Forum and various other the different organizations, how difficult it is, A, to start a business in this country, and B, to keep up with the regulation. The red tape in South Africa from a COIDA, small business with COIDA and all the different, this and now the Poppy Act and this act and this act. You have to have an MBA to just understand the regulation. And most entrepreneurs are just trying to make ends meet and just get their businesses off the ground.
Sure. Okay. So what, and maybe the right question is actually who are the biggest deterrents then to entrepreneurs being able to push down our employment saga? Are there maybe a set of people, a set of situations, a set of actual issues at hand that we need to be zoning in on to say that, as you've made note of now, are those the biggest deterrents?
I think is government and government policy, and I don't want to bash. This is not a government bashing exercise. I really don't, because I think government is on one side is trying incredibly hard, and on the other side is obviously failing. And that to me is has to do with who's informing the ministers or the policymakers on policy. But if you look, for example, that just understanding to set up a business is one thing. So ease of starting a business is one thing, but ease of continuing to comply with regulation is another thing. Big businesses have got the resources, have got the people to do that. Small businesses don't have that. And there's a huge percentage of time and effort required in order just to remain legal, which then, of course, many of these businesses don't remain legal and are foul of the law. And so when it comes to opportunities within government, and I'm talking about black and white owned businesses, I'm talking about all businesses, they then don't comply with the requirements in order to win tenders. And so it's very difficult for them to do so. So in order to win these bigger contracts that are not in the private sector, they need to then invest in all this compliance, which, as I said earlier, is a huge expense.
Yeah, it really is. And I suppose then it still is about all that red tape, about the impact it is on having to grow your business in this society when you're just trying to get a leg up. It's a stubborn problem. How long do you think it would take for us to solve it if we were able to make the right steps and give off the right direction for entrepreneurs, alleviate that red tape that we continue to speak about, zone in and focus in on exactly what it is that is pushing us?
Arabelle, I think, you know, if there was someone with the right understanding and who's been an entrepreneur, understands the plight of entrepreneur, who's not too interested in being popular with the politics, but what is possibly better for entrepreneurs, I think it could take as quick as 3 years. And one of those things that they would have to focus on is labor law when it comes to small business. Labor law is a very contentious issue. I completely agree with labor law. I believe it should be there. But it's designed as a mechanism to counter big business. Big business is powerful, and labor law is designed in order to have a fair playing field for big business. When it comes to small business, small businesses, you know, are relatively, from a labor law, unsophisticated. And so they will employ somebody, they will be on a probation period, the person will have said that they can do something, they find out 3 weeks into the employment that the entrepreneur finds out they can't do this thing, so they fire them. Not 3 days later, they get a letter from the CCMA. And then the entrepreneur is going, but you lied to me. You couldn't do what you said you could do. And so, no, sir, you didn't follow the first letter, second letter, third letter. And so for me, the first thing that we need to look at is that actually what's happened is that the labor law has made employees far more powerful than small business owners. And so we've got to, in my opinion, have two sets of labor laws. One for big business, where one is a counter for the power of big business, and one that attributes to the context of a small business. In other words, if you can't do your job, I'm marginal as a small business, and if you can't do your job, I can't afford to keep you on my books. You need to go. And I need to do that, yes, that considering fairness, but it has to be fair both ways.
Sure. Trying to find a way to make it fair both ways is perhaps it. As you said, the politicking. Boy, does it set us behind quite a bit. Sure. Alan, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. I really wish it was a happy youth day. It isn't and hasn't been for quite some time. And we can hopefully only hope that we continue to try and push on in some way just to make things better for our youth, for the rest of our country. Alan Reyes is the CEO at Reyes Corp. The South African entrepreneurship sector is trying to do its bit. But if we don't give them a leg up, there's nowhere to go.